Well, hello, William. Good evening. Well, here it is, Chapter 10 of Stranded on Earth. Well, listen, William, the last story I told, I ran out of memory, and so it didn't end the way I meant it to. The way it meant it is the way it should have meant it, is the Sky Lord Enkiwatera Epsilonaron was leading his star fleet to rescue Iglyopteron Uberoperon, and that's basically what he wanted to do. And so he was entering the light channel just as I talked, and he had several space frigates. He had two star cruisers. These are big, big star cruisers. And then he had a spacecraft carrier that carried a whole bunch of little space patrol ships. And he had some space frigates, and they were ready to go to Earth. And they were following the emergency rocket's trail back behind. And so they were tracking where Iglyopteron, Uberoperon had went in his little star cruiser. So they were traveling that way. And meanwhile, I told you about GP and Iglypop, and they went back home to GP's apartment, and they've got some pizzas, and they got some coffee, and they talked all night long and had a great time. And while they were talking, GP got this idea in his head. He thought to himself, and he didn't say anything, because after all, he's an ethnojournalist, and you just can't jump in. But he thought, I need to go back to Jinakapalala. I should really see what it's like. I wonder if Iglypop would take me with him when he leaves. And he started thinking about that. And they were talking and talking, but that's all he could think about all night. Excuse me. Meanwhile, Clem Goodlight went home with his wife, Shui Huang, and they picked up little Buster at daycare, and the kids were home, and they made dinner. They had SpaghettiOs, and they had Kool-Aid, and they had all sorts of nice stuff for dinner that your mama wouldn't cook because she knows better. But Clem Goodlight was just an astrophysicist. He wasn't concerned about nutrition. But they had a good night, and then he told stories to his kids all night long until they fell asleep. And then he went to sleep with his lovely bride because they were going to be up first thing in the morning to go look at the space cruiser and help Iglypop train those unruly motorbots. Well, then Tara Tamara O'Toole Talltale, Dr. O'Toole Talltale, got home with Squeaky Toy. Now, do you think she just had a good time, made dinner for Dr. Timothy Talltale and her little 3T and her daughter? No. She set to work. She said, 3T, get out some frozen pizzas. We have work to do. Oh, Dr. O'Toole Talltale, you don't eat very well either. You should have fruit and mangoes. Anyway, she sat down with 3T. And she said, 3T, I have to do some work with your little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot, Squeaky Toy, and I need you to let me be, and you take care of your sister and your dad, and then wash the dishes. Oh, Timmy Tommy Toby complained, no, wash the dishes, no. But his mother gave him that look. And he said, okay. But you know what he did? He went out and told his sister to wash the dishes, and his sister did. Oh, no. Family dynamics. But back to Dr. O'Toole Talltale and Squeaky Toy. Well, first of all, she said, Squeaky Toy, tomorrow I'm going to do some behavioral modification on those motorbots. They are unruly, they're not listening, and it's about time they learn, and they have to explain why they're being so mean to old Iglypop. Because after all, Iglypop's just trying to do his job of being a crown prince of Jinakapalala and flying his space cruiser. And if we don't do that, then you know what we have to do, Squeaky Toy? Squeaky Toy looked at her. We have to recode them. So you, Squeaky, you have all the code that you sucked out of Iglypop's space cruiser, right? And Squeaky nodded his head. He said, yes, I do, ma'am. Well, then, I need you to review that code. I know that you can't read Jinakapalalan. I don't expect you to. But I need you to find out where the patterns are that you would change the Graviton motorbot to an ion drive motorbot, because that's where we can introduce new orders. And then we have to write a change order to make them obey the three laws of robotics. Well, Squeaky Toy didn't know if he was up to the task, but after all, he had a solar cap and he had plenty of juice in his batteries. He didn't have to sleep. So when he went to bed that night with Timmy Tommy Toby and all the toys cuddled up to him because they really liked their Squeaky Toy, he sat there and started going through all of his databases, all of his databases, trying to figure out all the programming for the Motorbots in Iglybot's Space Cruiser. And that's really hard, because in programming, you have to know if statements, you have to know loops, you have to know functions and program organization, you have to be able to switch case, then you need to know the pointers and structures and arrays and strings, and it's crazy. I can't do it. You have to talk to your Uncle Isaac. He's the one that knows. But he spent all night, and by the morning, as the first light came up, and just as the sun was coming up, he could hear the birds, and he thought he found the pattern. Here it is. I think this is it. Because look, it repeats here on all of the programming for each of the Motorbots. There's this little point. I wonder if Iglypop, Iglyoperon, Uberoperon sound, can write the code we need. So he put that into his storage, and he got up, and then he went out and made coffee for Tower Tomorrow Tool Talltale and Dr. Talltale, and he started making breakfast, because he's a pretty good robot, and he knows how to cook, and he made breakfast for everybody. He made eggs and bacon and toast and jam and peanut butter, and cut up some melon, because he knows that you should eat well. He cut up some melon and got out some strawberries and some blueberries. They had a really good breakfast. And then Dr. Tool Talltale said, "Okay, Squeaky Toy, we gotta go. We gotta fix these robots." So they took off in the car and went out to Carnatoon. Well, by the time they got to Carnatoon, guess who was there? Well, Solomon Cuttlefish, of course, because he lived there. And, Tara O'Toole Talltale, Tara Tomorrow O'Toole Talltale, lived next to Solomon Cuttlefish. Ha ha, silly me. They didn't even have to get into their car. They just walked. But meanwhile, GP and Iglypop had driven up in his Jeep, and they had climbed out. And Iglypop was looking in the garage at a space cruiser, puttering around. He was checking the battery and the solar array that Clem Goodlight had hooked up had just come back under power because the sun was up. And Iglypop was checking the dashboard, and yes, indeedy, little power was coming in, one little inch after another. That little meter went up, showing he had more and more power, which was a really good thing. And then who showed up but Clem Goodlight and Shui Huang? "Hey, we're here. We want to see if we could get this thing going." Oh, man, were they so happy. They all hugged, and everybody said, "Oh, good, we're going." So Iglypop sat down, and Squeaky Toy said, "Listen, I have this code, Iglyopteron Uberoperon San, and I think I figured out where the code is, but I can't read Janakapalalan. Can you write code?" Well, Iglypop was trained as a electromechanical engineer. He was also an astrophysicist, because you have to learn astrophysics if you're going to be able to go out. And he was also a pretty good robot engineer, because they trained him how to reboot the robots. And he knew when he was at school, he had done a whole class on how to reprogram robots to improve their functioning. Which means that if one of your ion motor drive robots, Fritz, is out, then you can take a lower end robot like an atmospheric drive robot, and you can reprogram it to become an ion drive robot. And he looked at little Squeaky Toy, and he went, "Woo-hoo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. How did you know that? What do you know about the robots?" Squeaky Toy just smiled and bowed, and he said, "Arigato gozaimasu. I think I did last night a lot of work, and I think I found where you can reprogram the robots. Look here." And you know what he did? He asked Solomon Cuttlefish to turn on his big 100-inch screen TV in the garage, which, of course, everybody has a 100-inch screen TV in their garage, and he put up the code. And he said, "Listen, I have a whole file I'll send for you. I'll send it to you, and you can read through it, and you can work on it." And he took a file, and he zipped it, because it was a big file, and he sent it to the computer that was in Solomon Cuttlefish's garage. Doesn't everybody have a computer in their garage? And he said, "There, you can work on that. I have to help Dr. O'Toole Talltale." Well, Dr. O'Toole Talltale was indeed in the space cruiser by now, and she was getting a little bit antsy because she wanted Ayatsuri Ningyo robot there. This poor little robot, he's doing everything. So he climbed into the space cruiser, and he took the special connection that Solomon Cuttlefish had made for him, and he plugged it into his side panel, and then he plugged it into the side panel in the ship. And all of a sudden, he was inside the ship, and there were the Motorbots. Well, I have to say, these Motorbots were not very kind to little Iglypop. I mean, after all, they were robots, he was a robot, and they were sitting there talking, Ah, that stupid Janek and the Palalan prince. Ah, they were talking among themselves. Ah, I hope he never comes back. Hope he never gets to fly again. They should take his flying license away. Can you believe it? He was trying to get us to go over 5 times the speed of light. Oh, we're never going to work for him. Oh, this is mutiny, actually, among the motorbots. But they didn't know anybody because they were just talking among themselves. But you know, William, when you get into a situation that you don't like things, and then you start talking and talking and talking about it and keeping it going, then you like it even less. But really what you're doing is you're just making it worse because you're just adding stuff that really wasn't there, but you're adding it because you're angry. So they were adding all sorts of things about Ole Igglypop that really weren't true. Ah, he probably never learned how to fly an aircraft. He never should have been in a space cruiser to begin with. Oh, this guy doesn't even know how to turn things on. Well, the dashboard control bot, Talk Rob, was trying to talk sense to them. He said, come on, you guys. This is just Igglypop. He's only just 87 years old. He's a youngster. He's just trying to learn how to fly a space cruiser, and he didn't know you couldn't go beyond 5 times the speed of light. Ah, you don't know anything. Well, Squeaky Toy was listening to this. And then he turned around, and he turned on a speaker in the space cruiser, because after all, he was in the command and control unit of the space cruiser, and he turned on a speaker. And then Dr. O'Toole Talltail heard these robots saying these terrible things about Igglypop. She said, Squeaky Toy, you've got to talk to him. You've got to talk to him. So Squeaky Toy said, Motorbots, listen to me. I have questions from a human here who wants to ask you questions. And the Motorbots all looked at Squeaky Toy. Well, they didn't look at him, but they knew he was there. And they said, who? What? A human? What? Is that an alien space creature? And Squeaky Toy said, it's a human. It's Dr. O'Toole Talltail to you, and she wants to ask you some questions. So I need you to pay attention. And then he took the leaders of the three motors, Billy Rob and Gabble Rob and Happy Rob, and he said, you need to pay attention. I'm going to ask you some questions. So they all said, oh, what do we need to know? Okay. All right. So what do you need to know? And Squeaky Toy turned back and said to Dr. O'Toole Talltail, okay, all right, ask some questions. So Dr. O'Toole Talltail said, okay, I'm going to start some behavioral modification. This one is about teamwork. I want to see if they can work together. So she said, ask them. Ask them ask them to tell you about a time they had to work closely with somebody, some other motorbot, whose motorbot personality was different from theirs. So Squeaky Toy turned around and asked that question. And old Billy Rob stepped forward because he was actually the chief of all the motorbots, being the Ion Drive motorbot. And he said, what do you mean, work with somebody different? If they're different from us, we kick them out. We unplug them. We don't let them work. We all work the same. We're all the same type of motorbot. We don't want anybody different. And Gobble Rob said, that's right. That's right. If you're not a Graviton-type motorbot, we kick you out. No, we don't want anybody different from us. Now, the motorbots were agreeing. Talk Rob was saying, well, that's true. They like themselves to be the same. So then when Tower Tomorrow Tool Talltale heard that, she said, oh, well, ask him about a time they faced a conflict while working with the team. Oh, no, said Billy Rob. No, we don't have conflicts. We all do what I say. Right, guys? What I say. That's right. Gabble Rob and Happy Rob both agreed. Yes, they do what I say. Well, ask them about a time when they struggled to build a relationship with someone important. Oh, ho, ho, the Motorbots hooted. Build a relationship. Ah, ha, 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 we come programmed with relationships. Don't you know anything? What are you? What kind of robot are you? Oh, they were giving Squeaky Toy a hard time now. Oh, these robots are unruly. Are unruly. Well, Tower Tomorrow Tool Talltail said, ask them if they ever make mistakes they wish they could take back. Ask them if they've ever handled a situation differently. Oh, so Squeaky Toy asked that question. Oh, the Motorbots went silent. And then Gabble Rob said, I beg your pardon. We never handle a situation incorrectly. We are always correct. We never think back to whether we should handle a situation differently because we always do it right. So Tara Tamara Tool Talltail was stunned at that, and she said, ask them about Igglypop. Ask them why they would handle that situation differently if Igglypop hadn't gone over 5 times the speed of light. So Squeaky Toy asked that question. Oh, what? Oh, that dope. That Igglypop, he would not have done that. We knew he was going to go over 7 times the speed of light, and we decided we'd all do the same thing. We'd quit. We don't want to do it. So Tower Tugel Taltale said, okay, one more question about teamwork. To ask them if there's any time they ever needed to get information from someone else who wasn't responsive. Oh, they laughed. They said, we don't need information from anyone else. We know it all. We are coated with all the information we need. Well, she said, I wonder if they have any ability to adapt. Tell me about a time you were under a lot of pressure. What was going on? So Squeaky Toy asked that. Oh, all the Motorbots hooted. Oh, and Happy Rob said, oh, I was under pressure. I had to land the ship. Oh, me and my guys, Nappy Rob, Tippy Rob, and Slappy Rob, we had to land the ship when he was crash landing. That was pressure. And Gabble Rob and Bobble Rob and Robble Rob and Wobble Rob all said, hey, that's true, because we were crashed out of the light channel without any warning, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were under a lot of pressure. That dope, he made it happen. And then Billy Rob, Silly Rob, Tilly Rob, and Willy Rob, all if you could see them, that looked like they were nodding their heads. Yeah, we are a lot of we are going 7 times the speed of light. We were going to burn out. We didn't want to get burned out. We wanted to just keep going at 5 under because that's our speed. So, Tara Tamara O'Toole Taltale is running out of questions and running out of patience with these guys. She said, have them give you an example of a time where they could successfully persuade someone to see their ways of working. So Squeaky Toy asked that question. Has there ever been a time you had to persuade somebody to see your approach? Well, this would have been a good time for Billy Rob or Gabble Rob or Happy Rob to say, well, you know, we tried to talk Igglypop out of this and explain to him that going 7 times the speed of light was really going to ruin the spacecraft and he should tweak back. But did they? No, they did not, because they were unruly. They said, what? We didn't have to persuade him. We just shut off. We turned off, and we're not turning back on. So there. So Squeaky Toy came out, and he looked at Tara Tamara Tool Talltale, and he said, I think they're frustrated, and I don't think they're going to be turning on anytime soon. Well, Tara Tamara Tool Talltale had gone through her whole behavioral modification toolkit for robots, and she couldn't get anywhere. She was so frustrated. She said, these young robots need the 3 laws of robotics. It's hard code time. And she told Squeaky Toy to pull the plug and come out and talk to Igglypop. Well, they all went out. Igglypop was looking at code. He was writing down code. And then Clem Goodlight was sitting there typing it in, because after all, Igglypop didn't know how to type. Let's put it that way. So Clem Goodlight was typing it all in. And then Solomon Cuttlefish was launching the code, and he was trying to see if it would work. So he had the code on a separate monitor, and he was trying to run it to see how it would work. So Igglypop was working away. And Tara Tamara Tool Talltale came on and said, Igglypop, it's not going to work. Those are unruly robots. Igglypop put his head up and went, which meant, yeah, I know. Tell me about it. So they said, okay, what are we going to do? Igglypop said, well, there's only one thing we can do if we want to rewrite the code for them. We've got to switch off everything but the emergency power to the ship. And the emergency power keeps the computers running, but it turns everything else off, including those Motorbots. Okay, do it. Igglypop said, I have to do it through Talk Rob, because Talk Rob normally takes care of that, and Talk Rob may not want to do that. Well, try it. So Igglypop climbed into the space cruiser, and he pulled up his dashboard, and he said, Talk Rob, I'm going to give you a command. Talk Rob came up and said, well, what is it you want me to do, oh, Igglyopteron Uberoperon? He said, I need you to switch the space cruiser off so we can do some repairs. Talk Rob said, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think we have enough power to boot back up. Well, Igglypop was looking at the power meters, and they were pretty threshold. They could do it, maybe. They couldn't do it, maybe. He didn't know. But he knew it was more important to get those Motorbots going. He said, well, that's okay, Talk Rob. We're going to keep putting some juice into the batteries. You just turn off the space cruiser because, after all, I need to do some repairs. Talk Rob said, I don't know about this. Let me ask the Motorbots. Igglypop said, don't ask the Motorbots. Do what I tell you. Talk Rob said, well, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm looking at my functions here. I'm going to be out. I don't want to be out. I'm in control of things. Igglypop was so bothered by having to argue with him. He climbed out of the ship. Solomon Cuttlefish said, what happened? They won't turn off. They don't want to. Solomon Cuttlefish said, Squeaky Toy, come here. Squeaky Toy came over. He said, show me the ship. I need to look at the configuration. I need to look at the wiring, and I need to know where the power override switch is. Squeaky Toy said, oh, okay. And he put on the specs, and he shined up on using his Wi-Fi. He put up on the 100-inch monitor all the specs to the dashboard and the specs to the space cruiser, and you could see all the monitors and all the metering. And then, right in between the meters, was a little empty space. Well, what's in that empty space? And he went to the empty space, and what was behind that empty space was a little door that was very cleverly hidden. But if you slid that door across, what was there was a little switch. And that switch would turn off the ship. Well, Curtis Cuttlefish looked at Igglypop and said, Prince Igglyopteron Uberopteron, I think we found your answer. Go turn it off manually. Well, this is something Igglypop didn't even know existed. Nobody had shown him this on the space cruiser. Because they're not supposed to know it. He's just the pilot, right? So he climbed back in, he found the little space, he opened the door, and there was a switch. And the switch said, danger, if you turn this off, you may not be able to turn it back on. Igglypop looked at the monitors. There was maybe enough electricity in his battery to turn it back on. He didn't know, but he was going to take care of those darn motorbots. So he turned it off. Pew! The emergency lights popped on. All the meters went down. The only meter going was the energy meter, showing how much energy was in the battery. Everything else was gone. And Squeaky Toy came in with Clem Goodlight and Solomon Cuttlefish, and it was pretty crowded in there, I have to say. And then Shui Huang was at the door looking in, and Dara Tomorrow Tool Talta was looking in. And then Clem said, Igglypop, can you do the programming? Well, Igglypop didn't know if he could, but he said, I think I can. So he sat down at his dashboard, and he pulled up the code for the motorbots on his screen. Well, this is an emergency screen. You see, a lot of times, if you're on a space cruiser and say your ion drive motorbots don't work, you're flying through the light channel. Boom! You can't get out without the motorbots. You need all four of them to do it. He is flying out the light meter. You need to go in with an emergency, and you need to bring either your graviton drive motorbot or your atmosphere drive motorbot up to the ion drive so that you can do the light channel. So there was code to change their programming. So Igglypop said, well, this is different because I'm not changing their programming from one motor to the other. I am changing, like, their psychology. And Tara Tamara Tuatal said, exactly. You want to change their psychology because these are unruly robots and I won't accept it. Okay. So Igglypop pulled up the code where it booted up the robots. And in the code, he could read, you know, all the different directives, and then they had explanations for each line of code. And one explanation said, this will change the atmosphere drive motorbot to a graviton motorbot. And then it was, this will change the atmosphere drive motorbot to the ion drive motorbot. And then for each set of motorbots, it had those commands. So he said, okay, I think I can do it. Only I have to program this, and I have to remember how to program. But what he wanted to do was he didn't want to change their functioning. He wanted to change their perspective and give them the three laws of robotics, because that's the only way that robots should run. And remember, the three laws of robotics are: a robot may not injure a human being or an alien space creature, or allow a human being to come to harm. So by shutting off, they were going to allow Igglypop to come to harm. And then the second law is: a robot must obey orders given it to it by human beings or alien space creatures, unless it would harm the human being. Well, they had to take his orders, but going over the seven times the speed of light, that wasn't an order they should take, because after all, it would harm the spaceship and Igglypop would never come back. So they were absolutely correct in not doing that. But a robot must protect its own existence as long as the protection does not conflict with harming humans or obeying orders. So they were willing to crash the machine, crash the whole ship, because they didn't want to take an order. Well, that was wrong. So they had to learn the three laws. So Igglypop stood there, and he said, listen, fetch, and he wrote the first law. He said, insert, and he wrote the second law. Fetch and insert, and he wrote all three laws in there. And he wrote it for the dashboard control bot, Tarkrob, who, after all, wouldn't turn their ship off when he told them to, and the atmosphere drive motor boss, who had to be cajoled and persuaded to bring the ship out to send an emergency rocket. And then the graviton drive motor bots, you unruly sorts, and he changed their personalities, gave them the three laws, and he did the same for the ion drive motor bots. Oh, those arrogant Billy Rob, Silly Rob, Tilly Rob, and Willy Rob, you do what I say. And he stopped and he saved it. Saved it all. Said, okay, it's in. I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this is going to be, but I did it. I wrote the code. I wonder if we can turn the machine on. So Solomon Cuttlefish said, well, let's try. And he walked over to the switch that had been hidden on the dashboard, and he turned it up. Well, there was a moment when nothing happened, and the battery meter started fluctuating. It was right in the threshold, right in the threshold, right in the threshold, and then there was a and all the lights came on, and the dashboard came up, boing, and all the meters came up. Of course, they weren't doing anything because he was sitting in a garage, but they all came up. Oh, oh, and Iggy Pop said, Tok Rob, are you there? And Tok Rob came up and said, oh, yes, Crowd Prince Iglioptron, Uber Operon, what can I do for you? And Iglioptron said, tell me, are the motorbots running? Are the atmosphere drive motorbots fine? Tok Rob came back and said, yes, sir, they're all running fine. Are the graviton drive motorbots running fine? Yes, sir, I talked to them. They seem fine. They're ready to go. Are the ion drive motorbots, they're fine? Yes, they all come back. They're functional. They're ready to go. So Iglypop said, okay. Then tell the atmosphere drive motorbots to warm up the engine. Don't go anywhere. Just start the engine to warm it up. And Happy Rob came back and said, yes, sir. Happy to do that. And the atmosphere drive started. He said to Tok Rob, shut it down. Then he went to the graviton drive motorbots. And he said, okay, you tell Galba Rob, I want him just to start the motor. Not to do anything, not to go anywhere, just to start the motor to see if it starts. And Tok Rob went and came back and said, yes, sir, aye, aye, captain. And all of a sudden, you heard this hum. That was a graviton rotor starting up. They were doing what he told them. He said, okay, tell them to cancel. But it ended. Now for the final test. Could he get into the light channel? He said, okay, Tok Rob, tell Billy Rob and the other three, Steely Rob, Tilly Rob, Willy Rob, just to turn over the ion motor drive and see if it will turn on when we need it. Okay. He talked to them. Didn't hear anything, but he heard a little bzzz. Tok Rob came back and said, aye, aye, Captain. The ion drive motor bots have started the functionality. We can start the ion drive anytime you want. Well, Iglypop knew not to start the drive in a garage on Earth because who knows what would happen. He said, great, tell them to shut it down. Okay, thank you very much. Stand by. And he turned around and he looked at all of the people there, Clem Goodlight and Solomon Cuttlefish and Lee Squeaky Toy and Shui Huang and Tara Tomorrow Tool Tall Tale. And he went, oh, my good space alien creatures, we did it. We did it. They're doing what I tell them. Oh, it was high five. They were slapping hands. Well, Iglypop had never done a high five. Boom. And then Clem Goodlight did a fist bump. Boom. Of course, it's like doing a fist bump with a tennis racket. But boom, there it is. Oh, they were high-fiving. And then Shui Huang came in and gave him a big hug. Oh, we did it, Iglypop. And gave him a kiss right on his forehead. And then Tower Tomorrow Tool Tall Tale came in and gave him a big hug. And gave him a kiss on the cheek. Woo-hoo-hoo. Well, Iglypop didn't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden, GP showed up and said, hey, I was driving back, and I heard a big scream. What happened? Ah, we got the space cruiser going. Yay! All right! Woohoo! Ah. Well, Iglypop looked at the battery, and he said, oh, I'd take off right now, but look, the battery's under the threshold. We have to leave this running, at least for the rest of the day. Maybe tomorrow morning I can go off. That means I have one more night. We can all just have a nice evening together, and then I'll take off in the morning. Oh, they were so happy. So then Dr. Tomorrow Tool Tall Tale said, hey, come on over to my house. You can meet 3T and his sister, and you can see the pets, and we all have dinner. Coleman, bring your family over. We'll have dinner. And then she looked at Clem Goodlight, and he said, Clem, can your family come? And Clem said, oh, sure. Well, I'll drive back to Skedaddle and pick up the kids. We'll come on out. Shui Huang, you want to stay here with Igly Pop so that you can learn some more Janaka Palalan? Shui Huang said, I'd love to. And so GP said, Yahoo, I'm going to go home because I'm going to pick up my recorders, my digital recorder and my video recorder, and I'm going to take a picture of the party. Oh, they had a good time, and they all did that. They had a big party. And then Timothy Talltale got a call in the office, and his wife said, Timothy, darling, I need you to do something for me on the way home. I need you to pick up a big 10-pound salmon, a big one, king salmon. We have to have the best. And maybe you should get some grass-fed steak on the way home and pick up some broccoli and maybe some salad making. We'll have broccoli and a salad, and we'll have a cookout. Well, Tara O'Toole Talltale, she was no fool. She knew how to eat, and she knew you eat well. And you don't eat stuff that has herbicides or pesticides or anything. So it should always be natural and good for you. So that's what Dr. Timothy Talltale did. And he brought home fish and steak and salad makings. It was all organic. And they made a great big salad and they had a great big party. Oh, it was wonderful. And they put some music on. And when they were playing the music, Igly Pop was, huh? What's that? And Shui Huang went, woo, woo, woo. She said, that's what we call music here. And Igly Pop said, but it almost sounds like they're talking to me. And Shui Huang laughs and said, woo, woo, woo. No, no, no. We call it singing. And Igly Pop couldn't believe it. And then, Tower Tomorrow Tool Talltale said, come dance with me. Well, Igly Pop had never danced in his life. They didn't have music on Janaka Palalo. They just talked instead. And so they started dancing. Oh, old Igly Pop. Now, he was 7 feet high. He was a big boy, but he got into dancing. And they were dancing and jiggling and jitterbugging. And the kids were great because they stayed up late. And let me tell you, Igly Pop really liked salmon. Woo-hoo-hoo. And he found that organic vegetables were so much more delicious than pizza or anything else that GP ate. But GP's only a grad student. He doesn't know yet. And they had a great time. They had a wonderful night. And it got to be late. And they all said, okay, end of the evening. We all have to go home. So Clem Goodlight bundled his sleepy kids in to the back of the car with Shui Huang, and they drove back to Skedaddle. And Clem Goodlight said, come on, we got to go home. And then Solomon Cuttlefish said goodbye, and they gave hugs all around, and he took his family home with Curtis and Solomon and his wife. And then GP said, okay, we got to go. Come on, you come with me, Igly Pop. We'll go one more night and back to my apartment. And so he drove back to the apartment, and they all scheduled the next morning to come and start the motors and see if Igly Pop could escape from Earth and go home. What a great night it was. What a great night. But meanwhile, this big space fleet was traveling through the light channel. It wasn't going at 5 times the speed of light. It wasn't going at 7 times the speed of light. It was going at 25 times the speed of light. It was moving. And so it was going as fast as it could through the space channel, heading towards Earth. And meanwhile, we got to remember Major Heinrich Himmelstein and his captain, J.J. Johnstone. Now, if you remember, J.J. Johnstone had come back to the office, and he'd done some digging, and he came back to the office late so that Heinrich Himmelstein wouldn't catch him and yell at him. But the next morning, Heinrich Himmelstein started yelling, what did you find, J.J.? What did you find, J.J.? What did you find, J.J.? Well, that's not very good communication, but it got J.J. going. J.J. said, I think I can go back. I was given a lead to the robotics lab. I'm going to head back there. So he head back to the robotics lab. Well, nobody was there because Solomon Cuttlefish had called in sick, and then some of the other robotics were out doing work. They were out here. There were a couple of secretaries, but they looked at this J.J. Johnstone. They sort of had a feeling he was not all he was cracked up to be, and they said, we're not going to give him any information. So he hung around all morning, and then he went to the cafeteria and sat there looking glum. He was not a happy camper, and then he went back to the lab. And he finally came up to the secretaries and he said, look, is this guy coming in ever? And the secretaries looked at him and said, I have to tell you that Mr. Cuttlefish is a very, very important roboticist. And he is probably out fixing some robot here or there. We haven't heard from him, so we assume he's busy. Well, Can I get a telephone number? Can I call him? Well, the secretaries looked at each other and they said, okay, how does it hurt to have him call him? At least he can talk to them. So they gave him his number. Here is his number. Now don't give it to anybody else because it's a private number. Oh, J.J. Johnstone looked at them and said, oh, ladies, thank you, thank you, thank you. I just want to ask some questions. And he took off in his squad car. Where did he go? He went back to the headquarters for the United Persons Conglomerate Military Police. And did he call Solomon Cuttlefish? Oh, no, 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 no. He plugged the telephone number into his military police database. And before he knew it, he had pulled up the address, pictures of Solomon Cuttlefish and Curtis Cuttlefish and his wife and the dog and the cat and the house. And he found his place where he lived. He said, oh, Carnatoon, Carnatoon, oh. And that's when he went in and reported to Major Heinrich Himmelstein. I think I have it. I know where he is. We can go raid the house tomorrow. I'll make a bet we'll find the space cruiser and we'll find the space alien too. Oh, and J.J. Johnstone had these images of space aliens based on all the movies he'd ever seen. Of course, the space alien would have wicked talons and would have a tail, and the space alien would eat people, and he'd put their young in their stomachs and have them grow all these gross things because he was watching too many movies. He didn't understand. Igglypop was about the gentlest kid in the world. He was just a big kid on his first trip around the universe. But he didn't care. He was military police. So Heinrich Himmelstein laughed, a very ugly laugh, and he said, yes, we will get a whole raid team, and we'll go in the morning. And he got on the phone and started ordering an armored vehicle. He ordered a number of Hummers to go out there and take them down, and he ordered a half dozen of his military police to join him. He said, we're going out tomorrow on a raid. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, they don't know this. And Igglypop is back talking to GP, having a great time, drinking coffee. They don't know that Heinrich Himmelstein intends to arrest Igglypop in the morning. Well, that's the next part of the story, Sweet William, and I'll tell you that, but not right now. It's important for you to go to sleep. Hug your sister Lauren goodnight and be nice to her. Hug your mama and dada. They're wonderful. Say your prayers for your grandma and your granddad. They are tremendously wonderful people. And you have a good sleep, William. You have a nice sleep. Wake up tomorrow morning, and I will tell you another part of this long story about Igglypop, the space alien creature, and stranded on Earth.